Chapter 18. Jesse headed into Boston to speak with Roscoe Niles about Terry Jester and the mysterious album Stan White had alluded to. At least, that's what he told himself, though he knew when he was done talking to the DJ, he'd be making another stop before heading back to Paradise. That stop was the real reason he'd driven the 15 miles south to Boston. He'd already spoken to Molly, relaying to her the descriptions Walsh had given him, and telling her to see if the names King and Hump rang any bells with Lundquist. It was a long shot, but if they could get a jump on the forensics, it was worth it. The offices and studios of WBMB-FM, Boston's rock school radio, were in a faceless office park on the outskirts of town. It was strange, he thought, how distinctive-looking Boston was. But that these damned office parks with their stucco, concrete, steel, and glass were indistinguishable from one another. WBMB-FM was on the second floor, and as he rode the elevator up, he went over the questions he'd have for Roscoe. Jesse knew who Terry Jester was, even had some of his CDs. Normally, when dealing with a homicide, Jesse wouldn't have given something like this Terry Jester business a second thought. But he got the sense that with Mayor Walker on the warpath, he'd better cover all his bases. The woman at the reception desk gave Jesse a cursory smile and sent him back to the studio. As Jesse walked down the dimly lit hallway, he came upon two glass-paneled studios on either side of him. The one to his left was empty and completely dark, with the exception of small red and green lights flickering on the equipment. In the studio to his right, seated before a control panel and microphone slung from a spring-loaded arm, was a big man. He was thick around the arms, neck, and belly, and wearing a The Jam t-shirt that fit him 20 years and 40 pounds ago. He seemed preoccupied with the magazine in front of him, but when he looked up and noticed Jesse, he waved him in.
"Jesse Stone, as I live and breathe," said the DJ at the console when Jesse stepped into the studio. "Come in, sit down. Just give me a second here."
He pulled the mic close to his mouth and in a deep, sonorous voice said,
"This is Roscoe Niles, the teacher, and your afternoon headmaster at WBMB-FM Rock School Radio Boston. Here's that new Eastern European sensation, Bokai Slivovice, doing David Bowie's Starman."
He turned to Jesse, pulling a bottle of Johnny Walker Red Label off the floor and half-filling a rocks glass. He leaned toward Jesse.
"Technically, they should fire my fat ass for drinking in here, but everyone plays dumb."
He shook the bottle at Jesse.
"Want one?"
"No thanks, Roscoe."
"On the wagon again?"
"On duty."
"When did that ever stop you?"
Jesse laughed without an ounce of joy in it, noticing his hands were a little less shaky today. Roscoe, like Jesse, was a transplant. An ex-Marine, he'd once been big other than just around the waistline. For almost five decades, beginning in the 60s, he'd had one of the highest-rated overnight FM rock shows in New York City. But his station was bought by a giant media conglomerate, and the format was changed to songs that were one step harder-edged than elevator music.
"The fucking program director considered the Carpenters subversives," Roscoe had confided to Jesse a few years back, after too many red labels. "He fired me when I played a set of Rancid, the New York Dolls, and the Dead Kennedys. Asshole had no sense of humor. After that, I got this gig up here, and I've been here ever since. The pay is crap, the ratings suck, but they let me play what I want."
Jen, Jesse's ex, had introduced them at a party when she was doing the weather for a local TV station, and they immediately took to each other in spite of their divergent tastes in the Johnny Walker universe of label colors. When Diana came into Jesse's life, the three of them would sometimes hang together on the weekends Jesse came down to visit her. It had been months since they'd seen each other or spoken.
"Sorry about Di, man. She was something else," Roscoe said, taking a big swallow of his scotch. "How you holding up?"
Jesse ignored the question, sort of.
"Let's change the subject." "Okay. I hear Jen got hitched to some rich SOB."
"Hale Hunsicker, yeah. He's not as much of an SOB as you think with all that money. Now, don't you have to spin some records or something? Roscoe laughed. It's all digital, my friend. Most of the staff here thinks turntables are for turning pottery. I'm like a pilot in a modern cockpit. All I do is monitor the equipment and say something every now and then to let the listeners know I'm alive. I got a new car spot coming up in about 2 minutes. He shook his head in disdain. Time was I'd let you read the copy on air, and the station would have loved it. Not anymore, man, not anymore. I should let you do it anyway and get my ass fired. It wouldn't matter. Why is that? History's repeating itself. The station's been sold to one of those big conglomerates. Doesn't pay to be an indie station anymore. They think I don't know about it, but I've been around too long to fool. Too many people being let go and getting replaced by unpaid interns. Only reason I'm still here is that I'm relatively cheap. It's like a ball club dumping salary and trimming the roster for the new owners. Sorry to hear it. I'll land on my feet. I always do. So why'd you really come here, Jesse? Not that I'm not happy to see you and all. What can you tell me about Terry Jester? Niles smiled a beaming smile. They don't call me the teacher for nothing. Jester was born Terence Jacobovitz to a schoolteacher mother and doctor father in Boston in the 40s. Left college, moved to the village in the 60s, and was part of the folk duo Terry and Stan. Stan White? Roscoe was impressed. You know that schmuck? Met him a few days ago. He's throwing a big birthday bash for Jester in Paradise next month. Real piece of work, Stan is. We used to be buddies, Stan and me. He was a smart guy. He understood that he had to get out of Terry's way, that Jester had the looks, the voice, and the talent. It was Stan's idea to change Terry's name. Sharp. Because as names go, Jacobovitz is even less appealing to the Christian masses than Zimmerman. But that's not what you're asking, is it? You know Jester's music. Everybody does. I know his greatest hits, sure. But White referenced something that I didn't understand. He said something about the album. Do you know what he was talking about? Roscoe Niles sucked down the rest of his drink and nodded. It's the stuff of legend, my friend. What is? The Hangman's Sonnet.